was written in Heidelberg, Germany, in German, as a teaching tool for the kids. Was that a thumbs up? Okay, thank you. So it was written in 1563. There's 129 questions through it all. We're not going through all those today, but about half of them. And it moves along. As you listen, you'll just see the fall of man into sin, and you'll see then what God did about that problem in our lives. Okay? So, you all got your microphones on? Okay? They'll unmute them for you. So, Emma Lynn, we'll start with you. What does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His Word?
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Thank you. Autumn, what does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His word?
2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecies of Scripture came about its own interpretation, for prophecies never had its own origin without the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you. Ashlyn, Proverbs 30, 5 and 6, sorry.
Proverbs 30, 5 through 6. Every word of God is faultless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His word, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar.
Luke, what does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His word?
Psalms 119, 89, 105. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Right. Hannah, what does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His word?
John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning.
Right. Emery, what does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His word?
2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture of God's brief is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you. Okay, so some questions together in unison. All right. The Bible is divided into how many parts?
The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
And how many books are in the Old Testament?
39 books.
How many books are in the New Testament?
27 books.
What is the name of this local church?
Salem Reformed Church.
Who was the founding pastor of this local church?
Jacob Orth in 1882.
Who is the head of the one holy Christian church that we speak of in the Apostles' Creed?
Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
And what are the six seasons of the church year?
Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost.
Right, thank you. Okay, and then we'll start in with the catechism questions. So together in unison, the first question, what is your only comfort in life and in death?
That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life, makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him.
Right. It's a wonderful answer. Emma Lynn, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort?
Three things. How great my sin and misery are, how I am set free from all my sins and misery, and how I am to thank God for such deliverance.
Right. And Autumn, how do you come to know your misery?
The law of God tells me.
Yes. Ashlyn, what does God's law require of us?
Christ teaches us in the summary in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments.
Thank you. Luke, can you live up to all of this perfectly?
No, I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor.
Right. Hannah, did God create people so wicked and perverse?
No, God created them good in his own image. That is true, in righteousness and holiness, so that they might truly know God, their creator, and love him with all their heart, and live for him in eternal happiness for his praise and glory.
Right, thank you. Emery, then where does this corrupt human nature come from?
From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are born sinners and corrupt from conception on.
Right. Emma Lynn, but are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil?
Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God.
Right. Autumn, but doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring in his law what we are unable to do?
No, God created humans with the ability to keep the law. They, however, are tempted by the devil in reckless disobedience, robbing themselves and all the descendants of these gifts.
Right. Ashlyn, will God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished?
Certainly not. He is terribly angry with the sins we are born with, as well as the sins we personally commit. As a just judge, he punishes now and in eternity. He declares curses everyone who does not continue everything written in the book of the law.
Okay, thank you. Luke, but isn't God also merciful?
God is certainly merciful. He's also just. His justice demands that sin committed against his supreme majesty be punished with a supreme penalty, eternal punishment of body and soul.
Right. Hannah, according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment, both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor?
God requires his justice to be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of his justice must be paid either by ourselves or another.
Right. Emery, can we pay this debt ourselves?
Certainly not. I actually kiss our guilt every day.
Yeah. Emma Lynn, can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us?
No. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for what a human is guilty of. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it.
Right. Autumn, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then?
One who is truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures, and that is one who is also true God.
Good. Ashlyn, why must this mediator be truly human and truly righteous?
God's justice demands human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sin, but the sinner can never pay for others.
Right. Luke, why must this mediator also be true God?
So that by the power of his divinity, he might bear the weight of God's anger in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life.
Right. Hannah, who is this mediator, true God, and at the same time, truly human and truly righteous?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to us to set us completely free and make us right with God.
Amen. It's Jesus, yes. Emery, how do you come to know this?
The Holy Gospel tells me. God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and persuaded it by other sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own dear son.
Right. Emmeline, are all saved through Christ, just as all were lost through Adam?
No, only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his blessings.
Good. Autumn, what then must a Christian believe?
Everything God promises us in the gospel, that gospel is summarized for us in the articles of Christian faith, a creed beyond doubt and confessed throughout the world.
Right. So together in unison, what are these articles summarized in the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Ashlyn, how are these articles divided?
Into three parts. God the Father, creation.
Yes. Luke, since there is but one God, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God.
Yeah. Hannah, why is the Son of God called Jesus, meaning Savior?
Salvation, because he saves us from our sins. Salvation cannot be found in anyone else. It is futile to look for salvation elsewhere.
Good. Emery, why is he called God's only Son when we also are God's children?
Because Christ alone, eternal and natural Son of God, we are ever adopted by Christ, adopted by grace through Christ.
Okay, yes. Emmeline, why do you call him our Lord?
Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has set me free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, and bought me body and soul to be his very own.
Thank you. Autumn, why did Christ have to go all the way to death?
Because God's justice and truth demands it. Only the death of God's Son could pay for our sins.
Right. Ashlyn, why was he buried?
His burial testified that he really died.
Yes. Luke, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die?
Our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sinning and is our entrance into eternal life.
Right. Hannah, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us?
First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteous that he has won for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already resurrected into a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection.
Right. Emery, what do you mean by saying he ascended to heaven?
Christ, while his disciples watch, was lifted up from earth to heaven and will be there for our own good until he comes to judge the living and the dead.
Right. Emmeline, but isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as he promised us?
Christ is truly human and truly God. In his human nature, he is not now on earth, but by his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment.
Right. Autumn, why the next words, and is seated at the right hand of God?
Christ ascended into heaven to show that he is head of his church and that the Father rules all things in him.
Yes. Ashlyn, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit?
First, he as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, he is given to me personally so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all the blessings comfort me and remain with me forever.
Right. Luke, what do you believe concerning the Holy Christian Church?
I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member.
Right. Hannah, what do you understand by the communion of saints?
First, believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ for his treasures and gifts. Second, each member should consider this a duty to use these gifts spiritually and
readily
and cheerfully for the service and enrichment for other members.
Right, good. Emery, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins?
I believe that God, because Christ's atonement will never hold against any of my sins nor sinful nature, which I need to struggle against my life. Rather, in his grace, God grants me righteousness and frees me forever from judgment.
Yes, the righteousness of Christ, right. Emmeline, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you?
That not only my soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ's head, but even my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body.
Good. Autumn, how does this article concerning life everlasting comfort you?
Everything I already know,
experience
in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. So after this life, I will have the perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally.
Right. Ashlyn, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this?
In Christ, I believe God and in heir to everlasting life.
Yes. Luke, why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God?
It is not because of any value my faith has that God has pleased me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God, and I can receive this righteousness and make it mine another way than by faith alone.
Good. Hannah, it is by faith that we share in Christ and all his blessings, Where then does that faith come from?
By the preaching of the Holy Gospel. He produces it into our hearts
and confirms it
through the use of our holy sacraments.
Right. Emery, how many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament?
Two, baptism and Lord's Supper.
Right. Emmeline, what are the sacraments?
Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They're instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand clearly the promise of the gospel and might put his seal on that promise. Right. And this is God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross.
Right. Autumn, are both the word and sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground for our salvation?
Right. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and through the holy sacraments, he assures us that our entire salvation rests on Christ, one sacrifice for us on the cross.
Good. Ashlyn, where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup?
The institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took his cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim till the Lord's death until he comes."
Right. Luke, can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent ways?
By no means. Scripture tells us no unchaste person, no adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slayer, robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God.
Good. Hannah, what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion?
Two things, dying away of the old self and coming to life of the new.
Okay. Emery, what is the dying away of the old self? It is to be genuinely.
Yes, we genuinely sorry for our sins and hate it more and more to run away from it.
Right. Emmeline, what is the coming to life of the new self?
It is the wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to.
Right. Then we'll go to the Ten Commandments here. So, Autumn, what does the Lord say in his law?
First commandment, I am your Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.
Try it again.
Second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the forms of anything in the heavens above, the earth beneath, or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
The third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not find anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh of the Sabbath, the Lord your God, on it shall not do any work.
The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, so you may live long in the land that the Lord has given you. The sixth commandment, y'all shall not murder.
Seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery.
Good. Autumn, how are these commandments divided?
Into two tables. The first has four commandments teaching us what our relation to God should be. The second has six commandments teaching us what we owe our neighbor.
Right. Luke, can those converted to God obey these commandments perfectly?
No. In this life, even the holiest only have a small beginning of disobedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some of God's commandments.
Right. Hannah, what did God command us to pray for?
Everything we need spiritually and physically as embraced in our prayer that the Lord himself has taught us.
Right. Okay, together in unison, what is this prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our debt. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And Emery gets the last question. What does the little word amen express?
Amen means to be sure and to be even more sure that God listens to our prayers and we really desire what we pray for.
Right. Thank you. My dear friends in Christ, these young adults have studied the Word of God, the Heidelberg Catechism, and they've been instructed in the Christian faith. They are now ready to present themselves for service to Jesus Christ using the gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows. Now, before I go further, how about give them a hand here? You did very well. I have six more questions. These are the easy ones. These are very similar to the vows that you as parents took when they were baptized. So together, do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you believe in God our Father who calls us into a relationship with himself and with one another? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And Emma Lynn, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I pledge my allegiance to his kingdom.
Thank you. Autumn, do you believe in Jesus Christ, and do you pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I pledge my allegiance to him.
Ashlyn, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe in him and pledge my allegiance to him.
Thank you. Luke, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I pledge my allegiance to his kingdom.
Thank you. Hannah, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and pledge my allegiance to his kingdom.
And Emery, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, and pledge my allegiance to him and his kingdom.
Thank you. And then together, do you believe in the Holy Spirit who seeks to bring us in closer harmony with the will of God, and who is the one who indwells us as believers? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you receive and profess the Christian faith as it is found in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you promise, according to the grace given you, always to remain a faithful member of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Lord's table, to love and serve God in the world, bearing witness to the risen Lord? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Okay, if you want to take those bulletins under your chairs, please. There's a prayer that we'll pray together, and then if you have your bulletins, there's a prayer of the congregation that will not be on the screen either, correct? Okay, just making sure. Okay, so with the eighth graders already, let's pray this prayer together. Oh God, my God, known to me in Jesus Christ, I am not my own, but yours. I give myself to you as your own, to love and serve you faithfully all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the congregation, if you have that bulletin, let's pray this together. Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has made salvation a free gift of grace to all who will believe, empower by your Spirit these young adults to continue to grow and develop their daily walk with you. Give to them the gift of power to love others, have joy in serving you, seek peace above dissension, show patience in suffering. Help them to display kindness toward all people, goodness in evil times, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, and self-control in all things. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. So then if you want to put your microphones down and come down here. And at this time, I'll ask the parents to come, please, forward also. And the elders of the church, you come behind the parents. Okay, you've done well. You really did. So I always give, they told you their favorite verse, and as I pray for them through the year and ask God for a verse that I give to them, and this was sort of the first time this happened this way that I can remember, actually as I was praying, okay, Lord, what are the verses for each one of these? And the phrase that came to my heart and mind was, take courage. Take courage. So you're going to see in each of your verses, you will find that phrase, courage or courageous, in those verses. In the days in which we live, you need to be courageous, living for God. All right, so Emma Lynn, this is what from Acts 23, verse 11. This was when Paul's life was being threatened. And it says, Paul said, the following night, the Lord stood near me and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. So take courage to tell others about Jesus, right? All the days of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Emma Lynn. Lord, a sweet young lady, that's for sure. Wanting to please, wanting to do what's best. And give her your courage as you fill her with the Holy Spirit of God this day, I pray. Courage to live for you. Courage to make the right choices and decisions. Guard her and keep her, Lord, all the days of her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah, you're over there. Okay, I'll come back. I have Ashlyn. This is what Jesus spoke on the night before the cross, John 16, 33. And he said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, that's trials and struggles. But take courage, right? Take courage, for I have overcome the world. Father, thank you for Ashlyn. And the joy that you put within her, and sometimes the silliness, Lord, and the phrases she comes up with that make us chuckle. And I thank you, Lord, for filling her with your spirit today, that she would have courage to live for you and to speak for you, to be bold as a lion, Lord. I thank you for covering her, Lord, with the blood of Jesus Christ and giving your angels charge over her to guide her in all of her decisions of life, that they would honor you in every way. Bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name, and her family. Amen. Luke, the only gentleman among us. So this is your verse when David, King David, was getting, he knew his death was soon, and he was speaking to his son Solomon, who would be the next king. And he says, David, King David said, I'm going where everyone on earth must go. He knew his death. And then he says this phrase, take courage and be a man. That's a neat verse, isn't it? Yeah. Take courage and be a man. Father, I thank you for Luke, such a young man, kind and gentle-hearted and just wanting to serve you. And I thank you for pouring out your spirit upon him and within him on this day in a mighty way. And let him continue to stand for you, to take courage and be a man, to be a man of God, to love you, to serve you all the days of his life. Lord, keep him safe. Guide him through all the decisions that come. Father, give your angels charge over him. be with his parents too and bless them in their home in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hannah, you did it. Yes. This is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and this is when God Almighty spoke to Joshua when he was going to lead Israel into the promised land. That was a big task. Yeah, and God does big things through you, and he will. He said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go." Okay? Thank you, Father, for Hannah. Lord Jesus, as you fill her with your spirit, that you give her boldness. As I prayed for one of the others to be bold as a lion, for you, Jesus, to live for you courageously, to make right choices and decisions in her life as you guide and direct her. As you bless her family, her parents, as they continue to lead and instruct her through her high school years and beyond, Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus over her and ask that you give your angels charge over her in all of her ways in Jesus' name. Amen. And Autumn, I just this year have sort of been able to tell them apart. And I'm a twin. So, Autumn, Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." So important in our lives and your decisions to wait for the Lord and on his leading, okay? Father, thank you for Autumn. So precious and tender-hearted she is as well, all these girls. Lord, as you fill her with your spirit today, give her courage. Give her courage to stand for what is right and true in this world in which we live, when so much of the world seems to go the other way and against your word and against your will. Lord, fill her with boldness to stand for what is right. And thank you for giving your angels charge over her to guard and keep her in all of her ways, Lord. And her family, Brent and Ann and the family, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And Emery, this is similar to Hannah's, but this is when Moses was speaking to all the nation of Israel before his death, and he knew the promised land was coming. And he said to them and to you, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them." Them is the enemy. "For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Emery. In Jesus' name, you know the plans that you have laid out for her. And I believe there's some strong leaders in this class, Lord. And let them be so for you. Courageous, filled with your spirit, and wanting to follow your word throughout their lives, and Emery throughout her life and her high school years. Let them be leaders for good and righteousness and truth, Lord. Give your angels charge over her and guard and keep her in all of her ways, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you can go ahead, Kim. I have one more prayer here, please. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for your goodness that you've shown to these young adults today and through their confirmation years. I pray, Lord, that this affirmation of their beliefs, it would be the beginning of a great faith journey that lies ahead of them. Help them, Lord, to live for you and not for themselves. Keep them steady and filled with hope, never giving up and pressing toward the goal of life everlasting with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ken Stepanek, oh, you grab a microphone there. Yeah, he's the chairman of our consistory, and he has a welcome here for them.
Well, you did it. You made it. And I don't know who's more worried, the parents We're the students, actually. On behalf of Salem Reformed Church, in the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Salem Reformed Church, I extend a hand of Christian love welcoming you into the company of this congregation. And also for you, we have a Reformation Study Bible that you'll receive here this morning. And may you enjoy it and wear the covers off of it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ken. That's a gift from the church. Those Bibles are, their names are engraved on the cover of them. So if you want to bring the communion elements down, please. As you heard the kids say, this is the first time for them to have communion, so it's very special with their parents. Sorry, congregation, you get to just watch yet on this part. As I think all of you know, the innermost ring is the grape juice. The other two rings contain the wine. Let me have a prayer, please, before we go forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, for the cross, for the incredible sacrifice that you gave for us as you hung there suspended between heaven and earth, and you took the wrath of God upon yourself, Jesus, that should have been ours. You hung there in our place. You, who knew no sin, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so, Lord, as we partake of this sacrament, I ask that you bless these elements, the juice, the wine, the bread, let them be sanctified and set apart for this time and this purpose as we take them. They would bring nourishment to every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can pass the bread. Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's hard for us to even comprehend all that you went through physically in your body, the whipping and the beating and the crown of thorns on your head and nailed to that cross. We are forever grateful, and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood that you shed for our salvation, to wash our sins away, to make us whiter than snow. You said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our sins from us. And we thank you that we can know that we are a new creation in Christ. We can know that heaven is our home because of what you have done for us. And we say thank you, and we love you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, if the kids want to come back up to your chairs. And the parents, you can go back to your seats then when you're finished. And we'll sing our closing song, which is going to be in the praise book. Okay, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, 144 in this book. Let's stand together and we'll sing this. So, oh, you don't have, yeah, grab those. If you want to grab three, and Luke, you grab three and bring them up here, please. Thank you. 144, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
But God, who called me, here be.
Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thanks for being here today to support these young people. I know it's a longer service. Thank you, Cheryl, for the music. And to the helpers, 6th, 7th, 8th grade helpers every Wednesday, thank you. You'll be able to greet them here afterwards.